Elevator running as you like it. David missed his 12th hour clock start except to turn the congregation outside the 12th hour. In the Elvin, Texas, the day is May the 26th, 29, or the first day of season 2029, or it is the 26th day of May the 2025. We will start our third service today on this new moon Sabbath with the continuation of the two family dreams, number 21. It's entitled Children Born to a Lewd Mother Bring Peace and Happiness in the Home. Okay, we're going to start with page 1. It says, I shall read from the Yahshua's Christ Object Lessons, page 55, beginning with paragraph 2. Charity, riches, pleasures, all are used by the Satan in the playing the game of life for the human soul. For the warning is given, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He who reads the hearts of men as an open book says, take heed unto yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the surfeiting and the drunkenness and the cares of this life. And the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in in which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with the many sorrows. We are to pray for to overcome the love of the world and to remember that the Satan is playing the game of life for the souls of Yahweh's people, to be given grace to work and pray as never before, to overcome the wiles of the devil, to know that he is no foe to be trifled with, and that Yahshua is the captain who never lost a battle, that if we enlist his help, he will see us through. This is the end of our prayer. So we're going to have a prayer and then go into our service. Okay, it says, our subject for today is the sign of Hosea. Looks to be the best out of each year, January the 3rd, 1948. Children born unto a lewd mother bring peace and happiness in the home. All right, this is for the Hosea chapter 1 and 2. For the first and most important thing to ascertain about these chapters is the time in which their prophetic import unfolds. For the finding this out, we shall read Hosea 2:18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping of things out of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Up until this very day, Yahweh's people have never as yet experienced such a complete and absolute security and freedom as set forth in this verse of the Scripture. It is therefore quickly seen that the subject of the chapter reaches even beyond our time, as we study the chapters verse by verse. The time element will appear still brighter and brighter. Hosea 1:1-2. For the word of the Yahweh that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, when the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of the Judah, and in the days of the Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Israel, for the beginning of the word of the Yahshua by the Hosea. And the Yahshua said unto the Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of the whoredom and children of the whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom by departing from the Yahshua. For the prophet Hosea was commanded to take a wife of the whoredom for no other reason than to portray this sad and abominable condition which then obtained in the Israel. For the marriage only visionary just okay, let's go this again. For this marriage is only visionary, just as is the prophet Ezekiel, lying 40 days on the one side and 390 days on the other side. Ezekiel 4:4-6. Hosea 1:3-5. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And Yahshua said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. For the firstborn son of the prophet visionary marriage, you see, was named Jezreel, and the order for the foreshadowing that which is to befall the nation, predicting not only the termination of the kingdom, but also the very place in which its army is to be defeated, in the valley of Jezreel. And this destructive evil was to have come upon them for the shedding of the blood of the Jezreel. Obviously not the Jezreel that had just been born and named, who the slain Jezreel is, we shall see later in the study. Hosea 1:6-7. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Yahweh, their creator, and will not save them by the bow, nor by the sword, nor by the battle, by the horses, nor by the horsemen. For the ten-tribe kingdom, Israel, in the north, was spared until the birth of Lo-Ruhamah. But the name of the second child certifies that Yahweh was to have no more mercy upon the house of Israel, that its end had already come. However, he was to have mercy upon the house of Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and was to deliver it by a miracle. And that is what happened. An angel slew 185,000 of the Assyrian army, and thus Yahweh spared the house of Judah, 2 Kings 19:35. Hosea 1:8-9. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, then said to Yahweh, call his name Lo-Ruhamah, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. For the third child was named Lo-Ruhamah, to show that the Yahweh's mercies were to depart even from the house of Judah. And that's his lawgiver. According to Genesis 49:10, where it says, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver come between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall yet another people be. But rather than to let them be subjected or subjugated as his people, he first rejected them, whereupon they were no longer his people. For the apostle Peter cites this verse of the scripture as referring unto the unbelieving Jews. As a nation, they were rejected after the crucifixion of the Asherah, and were thus no longer his people. 1 Peter 2:9-10. For the individuals, though, who did believe in the Asherah, were re-accepted, and they became the children of the living Yahweh, so Romans 9:26. Now note that this symbolism has thus far taken us prophetically and historically from the days of the house of Israel unto the Christian era. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the son of the living Yahweh. Yet that is in the spite of the fact that the children of the Israel were to be scattered throughout the nation and rejected, being no longer of the Yahweh's people, yet in spite of all these, both the descendants of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, all the children of the Jacob were to be multiplied as the sand of the sea by the time they are reaccepted and thus become the son of the living Yahweh through the Savior, Yahshua Messiah. From this scripture, you note that this multitude of the sons of Jacob are not the identified Jews of today, but rather the lost descendants of the Judah and Israel, as those who were assimilated by the Gentile nation and by the early Christian church, by the early apostolic church, by the taking upon themselves the title a Christian. As those who thus lost their racial and national identity from all these after having been scattered throughout the Gentile nations and after having lost their identity are to come the sons of Yahweh that are projected in this allegorical prophecy. Thus many of us who are supposed to be of the Gentile nation may at long last discover that we are of the lost tribe of the Judah and Israel, and of the apostolic Christian Jews, or of the apostolic, Christian Jews, though none of us really know our genealogy very far back, yet the Yahweh who knows even the number of the hairs on one's head has kept an accurate genealogical record of each of us. So he said, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon, unto them that know me, behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopian, this man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her, for the Asherah shall come when he ride up the people that this man was born there. Asherah. Psalms 87:4-6. Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of the Judah and the children of the Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Here we are definitely told that in the latter days, Yahweh's saints, without a sinner among them, are to be gathered together from the four corners of the earth and be organized into a theocratic government, of which the antitypical David is to be the king. Thus is it that in the days of these kings, not after their days, shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it breaketh in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh hath made known unto the king, which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Daniel 2:44-5. In another allegorical prophecy in the connection with this one, we are again told, Hosea 3:4-5. For the children of the Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, without terror. After which shall the children of the Israel return and seek it. Yahweh, their creator, and or that's sure their king, and David their visible king, and shall fear the lesser and his goodness in the latter days. Here again, the promises are as plain as the words can make them that after the dispersion and captivity and the many days, Yahweh said his people are then to return unto their homeland. Who are then to seek the Yeshua the Yahweh and David their king? Hence these sons of Yahweh are not to identify an unbelieving Jew of today who are trying to make a permanent nation, national home in the promised land. For the Christians have a percentage priest of kingdom of Yahweh, but it is not as yet clear unto most of them whether it is to be tangible as the earth itself, or whether it is to be something foamy, something floating in space, or what. Inspiration, however, clearly could declare that the kingdom of Yahshua, the kingdom of purified kings, Daniel 8:14, is to be as real as any of the kingdoms of the earth has ever been. Now we shall continue our study through the Hosea chapter 2, because, as I said before, its context are the continuation of those in the chapter 1. Hosea 2, 1 to 3. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammon, and to your sisters, Arunama, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and sit her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and sit her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Let us remember that the first chapter brought us down through the stream of time down into the Christian era. Now in the chapter 2, our attention is again directed unto the Hosea's visionary children. Note, the prefix lo, has been omitted from the name Lo-Ruhama and Lo-Ruhamah, so as to change the meaning from no mercy and not my people unto mercy and my people. Here in this unique symbolism, fashioned years before the Christian dispensation, inspiration foreshadowed the gate that was to be given, or the grace, G-R-A-C-E, that was to be given unto the people in the Christian era, and that rather than continue to be called the Jews, they were to be called by another name or title, like the Christians, mercy and of my people. For the command, say ye unto your brethren, Amen, and unto your sisters, Ruhama, in itself explains that the Yahweh is speaking unto Jezreel, Amen, and Ruhama's brother, and that Jezreel and the turn is to speak unto Ammi and to Ruama, and the fact that Yahweh calls Hosea's visionary wife his own wife, this subject becomes still clearer. Hosea, you see, represents Yahweh, and Hosea's wife represents Yahweh's church. Jezreel, the one Yahweh speaks to, represents his mouthpiece, a prophet, and Jezreel's brethren, Ammi and Ruama, represent the members of the church, both male and female. Now, as the Ammi and Ruama represents the laity, it is obvious that the mother represents the ministry, those who bring forth converts into the church. Here we have a complete representation of the household of Yahweh. For the fact that the Jezreel is to urge his brethren, the laity, to plead with their mother, with the ministry, and to those who bring forth a convert, that she put away her whoredoms, the present truth clearly stands out that this revival and reformation does not come to the laity through the ministry, but to the ministry through the laity. For the laity is to be explained that if the ministers fail to reform, Yahweh is to strip them naked as in the day they were born. Hosea 2:5, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredom, for their mother hath paid their harlot. She that conceived them hath then shamefully for the letter. For the she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool, and my flesh, my all, and my drink. These verses set forth Yahweh's meaning of the grace, that if the mother fails to cease from her whoredom with the world and its practices, then not only the mother, but also her sympathizing children will forever fall from grace. For the mother here, we are told, imagines that her unlawful lovers are the ones who supply her with the temporal things of life, and it is her excuse for having anything to do with them. Moreover, we are again told that while she is thus playing the harlot, she is bringing forth illegitimate children, untrue converts. There is a warning which in the uncertain time demands a reformation, or else the whole church family, except for those who reform, will be destroyed as completely as the ancient Jerusalem was destroyed some years after the crucifixion of Yahshua. Hosea 2:6-13. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with a thorn, and make a wall, that she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but I shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her food and I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for the bill. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flesh given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feast days. Her new moons and her Sabbath and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vine and her fig trees, wherefore she said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earring and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Yahshua. On page 11, for these verses explain Yahweh's way and power to save. Let's do that again. For these verses explain Yahweh's way and power to save before he calls for a reformation. He prepares the way. He brings his church to trying and perplexing circumstances from which she cannot easily disengage herself. For he brings her to a situation similar unto which he brought the prodigal, for he does this in the order that she might be brought to realize where her support and the reality comes from, to know for certain that it does not come from her lovers. Then and then only may she do the very thing the prodigal, and when he came to himself, in the fulfillment of the prophecy contained in the verse 11, Yahweh permitted the little horn of Daniel 7 to change times and laws, and permitted the saints of the Most High to be in his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time, Daniel 7:25, Hosea 2:14-15. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of the hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she camped out of the land of Egypt, having brought her into a strait and embarrassing circumstances, as one can be in. Yahweh promises to allure her and to bring her into the wilderness, there to speak comfortably unto her. So specifically speaking, having emerged from the great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, Matthew 24:21. Yahweh brings her not into her vineyard, not in the promised land, but into the wilderness, and to the lands of the Gentiles, there to speak comfortably unto her and to help her reform. After this comforting meeting takes place, she is to have her vengeance from thence, and the valley of Acre for a door of the hope. There she is to sing and rejoice as in the days of her youth, and as in the days she came up out of Egypt. For the valley of the Achor, you know, is her door of hope. That is the only way out of her predicament. The valley has but one significance. It stands for a thorough purging, for the destroying of the sinners that are in her midst before possessing the land. Her only hope of becoming a decent, respectable wife of the Yahweh. It was in the valley of the Acre that Joshua stoned the last of the sinners in Israel, Achan, and his household. Then it was that the Israelite nation was permitted to take the promised land, the vineyard. Just such a purging as this is the Seventh-day Adventist Church's only door of hope. And so I'll back up and reread that again in the present tense. Just such a purging as this is the Seventh-day Adventist Church Gilead Center of Covenant Churches 2002 is only door of hope, says inspiration. Her only escape from her present plight, then she is to return unto her former position and grace. Then she is to receive the promised blessing as readily as the ancient Israel received hers. That remarkable incident in the valley of Acre is now seen to typify the purging for the repossession of the promised land, typifying the judgment for the living, the giving of the saints, and the destruction of the sinners by the separation of the wheat from the tares, by the goats from the sheep, by the good fish from the bad fish, for the barn, Matthew 13:30, connotes that the kingdom here projected, as does the Yeshua's right, and as do the vessels. Hosea 2:16, and it shall be at that day, saith the Yeshua, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Balaam. Yes, rather than be her Lord, Yahweh is indeed to be her husband. For one can have lords many, but only one husband. Hosea 2:17. For I will take away the names of the Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. For the names of the Balaam are significant of the persons possessing the selfish territories such as Balaam's teachers of the religion of prophets, who would rather curse Israel than lose the opportunity of the monetary gain or of some other foolish, selfish promotion that exalts and flatters, such shall then no longer be known by their lordly, high, and exalted titles. When the Yahshua is thus purged of all her idols, then will she find eternal grace. Hosea 2:18-22. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in the loving kindness, and in the mercies. I will even betroth unto me in the faith, faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Yahshua, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. These verses plainly show that the Yahweh's presence will in that day be in his church, that the Yahshua's presence, the Son of Yahweh, that even the heavens will be listening unto the Yahshua's voice while he speaks unto his people here on the earth. For the earth shall also hear their corn and the wine and the oil, that is, the earth shall hear the truth, and the truth that satisfies the soul as does our wholeness and nourishing food. Moreover, not only the corn, the wine, and the oil with the whole truth, really, Jezreel, too, shall the earth hear plainly. All these promises are to be fulfilled during the probation of time, for they cannot do the earth any good after probation of time is exhausted, for the Jezreel of the whole blood ancient Israel was charged guilty. You are was figurative of the prophets whom the Israel rejected and killed. Thus it is that the prophet-hating house of the Israel met the defeat in the valley of the Jezreel, and that by the interpretation is the valley of the slain prophets. Hosea 2:23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my Yahweh. For the son of her unto me in the earth means for the multiplying of her children in the Yahweh's order after she receives all these promised blessings, then she will Truly have Yahweh's mercy, such great mercy as it she has never before obtained. So unto those unto whom it was said, you are not my people, it shall then end the grand reality be said, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Now that the whole truth of these chapters is disclosed for the first time, since the prophet wrote them, and since no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, not by the will of the man, but by the will of the Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20-21, for the fact is that Yahweh had us in mind, us to whom these chapters are unfolded, when he caused these things to be written. Moreover, since the first verses of the second chapter bring us down unto the time of a revival and a reformation taking place in our own time, sponsored by Yahweh himself and brought to light through the Jezreel, then carried unto the church by the laity, is a work that fulfills itself only in this layman's movement that is now sweeping throughout the Seventh-day Adventist world. This truth, therefore, stands as high as a mountain, so that it is that they shall hear Jezreel, and that Yahweh himself shall say unto them, thou art my people, and they too shall say, thou art our Yahweh. For the inspiration thus shows that our efforts with this message are absolutely certain to affect the greatest reformation of all time, that the children's rebuke to the mother is sure to bring peace and happiness to the household of the Yahweh. For we therefore have every reason to be as positive of the winning and as anxious to work as was the ancient David when he faced the giant Goliath. Clear it is that the children laity born unto a lewd woman, church, bring peace and happiness in the family of the Abbot. You must therefore not fail to wholeheartedly and actually join this mighty layman's movement for the revival and reformation throughout Laodicea, and to finish the gospel work with the church. For fair as the moon, or clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banner, she is to go forth into all the world conquering and to conquer. Prophets in Kings 7:25. You cannot afford to lose out. This brings into our studies this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.